Hey everybody, welcome back. This is Food for Thought, Thoughts If It Were You, and I'm your host, Neo Gentrix. Again, it's lovely to see that everyone is enjoying my different podcasts, the different stories that I'm covering, and everything else that I've managed to put here on my channel. But we're still going with the Dark Truth series. There's a lot of stories to cover, and there's a lot of things that need to be made clear. A lot of these stories that everyone seemed to love, that they thought was great, you know, growing up, and nowadays we're going into a society where the past is being forgotten and nobody wants to hear about the tragic truths of the past. No one wants to hear about how gruesome and how terrible it was. They want to move into an age where, you know, everything is all rainbows and butterflies. There's only one problem with that. With that comes ignorance and feigned ignorarity. People tend to move away from stuff that they don't seem to understand or want to enjoy. Even horror films nowadays have been made, how do I put it, subliminal, where you're basically immune to it. They're not scary anymore. They've become a normal type of series that you watch. And unless you're some type of paranormal freak, you don't really enjoy them anymore. The sad thing is, people don't seem to understand that if you want something that's really horrific, you should probably travel into the past, as that's where most of it dwells. An example would be Snow White and the Seven Dwarfs. It's one of the most famous fairy tales in the world. You know, it was one of the very first Disney animated in their feature film series. However, the true story that inspired Snow White is no fairy tale. Margaret von Walden. She was a 16th century princess, but the Grimm brothers had to change a few details to make the story less, wretched, if you know what I mean. The real-life Snow White battled against an evil stepmother, fell in love with a prince, was poisoned, but there was no happy ending for Margaret, just like the tragic story behind Beauty and the Beast. If you haven't heard that podcast yet, you should probably go and check it out on my channel. It's somewhere there. If I haven't covered it yet, believe me, it will be coming to my podcast real soon. Anyway, Margaret's biography shows the dangers of entrusting your life to royalty when you shouldn't. However, bad the real Snow White's life was, the dwarves in the story had it actually even worse. Now, we know who inspired Snow White. The real story behind the dwarves can finally be brought to light. No, they weren't happy singing miners like Disney portrays them. Instead, they were child laborers who were stunted and deformed from years of working deep underground. Turns out that the real story is not exactly Disney material, to be fair. So, before we jump into that, we're going to take a short break here. After that little bit that I just gave you, decide if you still want to hear the rest of this story. If you do, continue listening. If not, it's probably time you change to go to a different episode from the listings that I have on my podcast channel. Or check out someone else until the next episode on my channel comes out. Till then, I'll be right back. Well, I'm assuming if you made it this far that you're willing to hear the rest of this story. So if that's the case, let's go ahead and move on to the real-life Snow White and her story and how tragic it actually was compared to the fairy tale. In 2013, a scholar named Eckhard Sanders, you may remember I mentioned him before, argued that Snow White was based on the real life of a real woman. The woman's name was Margaret von Waldeck, a Bavarian princess from the 16th century. Margaret grew up in a castle and lived in the court of Mary of Hungary, sister to Europe's most powerful ruler. Even so, her life was way too tragic to be confused with a fairy tale. Still, Margaret suffered under an evil stepmother after the death of her biological mother when Margaret was only 4 years old. Just like Snow White, Margaret was also poisoned, only her prince tragically wasn't able to save her from her fate. Next, we're going to cover the workers in the mine. Like I mentioned before, the mines left children stunted and deformed from the fact that they used to work in there for so long. Long ago, you know, before child labor laws became a thing here in the present, Margaret's father made poor children work in his mines as quasi-slaves. Not entirely slaves, but they weren't entirely free either. The conditions were terrible, and many of the children died at a very young age, so no one would ever know that they existed. And, you know, those who managed to survive had severely stunted growth, probably, you know, from being overworked and malnourished working in those mines for all those years. Many of them also had deformed limbs due to malnutrition, as you would imagine. Historian Eckard Sanders, he believed that the dwarves in the fairy tale may be based on the poor children who worked in the copper mines for Margaret's father. Because of their stunted growth and deformed limbs, the child laborers were often called the poor dwarves. Unfortunately, there's little record of Margaret's relationship with these abused child laborers, so they can't really claim that it's actually the case. Now, the real Snow White lived in a magical castle until her father sent her away. Sort of true. Okay. Margaret was the daughter of a German count, and from a young age, she was famous for her beauty, obviously. After her mother died, her father remarried, and the young Snow White, more or less, was sent away, possibly at her, you know, stepmother's request. Now, at the age of 12, Margaret moved once again to live with her dead mother's brother at Valkenburg Castle in the Netherlands. Today, only the ruins of the once massive castle even still remain. Her life was only stable for a short time, as in 1549, when she was 16, her father sent her to the court of Mary of Hungary in Brussels. Margaret's father was hoping to use his beautiful daughter to sway the Holy Roman Empire to his side, but the plot ended very badly for Margaret. And like with Snow White, Margaret also still had an evil stepmother she had to deal with. Like I mentioned before, after her mother died, her father, Count Philip the IV, my Roman numerals, I'm getting them confused, of Waldeck, remarried, like I've mentioned before. His new wife was Catherine von Hotzfeld. Even as a teenager, though, Margaret was famous for her beauty, even during this period. And like in the fairy tale, the evil stepmother allegedly was bitterly jealous of Margaret and her good looks. So what do you think Katharina did? She ordered her new husband to send her daughter far, far away. This request wasn't unusual. Remarriage was uncommon. Was common. And the children of the previous marriages were often cast aside when the new wife arrives. Wow, that sounded dark. Margaret would eventually, you know, be poisoned in Brussels, but unlike in the fairy tale, Katharina wasn't actually behind that plot. She didn't do anything, as she, you know, you would have imagined. Now that I've covered that, let me take a short break here, and then I'm going to talk about the dwarves for a minute. Okay, so we got that mess out of the way. Let's talk about something else. Seven dwarves. Well, I already told you that they were child laborers, so do you honestly believe that seven dwarves is actually the case? It's more like 20, to be fair. Or more, give or take how many actually survived. In the Disney version, the dwarves are happy companions to Snow White. They protected her from harm and worked together to save her life. In the 16th century version, however, like I said before, they were exploited children who work under horrific conditions. Margaret's father housed the child workers in a copper mining village called, forgive me for the pronunciation of this. I have it written down, but, Bregfrigheit. I do believe that's how it's pronounced. Anyway, the village calls itself Sneewichtendorf, or Snow White's Village in English translation. God help me. I'm still learning. I'm learning Russian and Italian, not German. So, like the Disney dwarves, however, the child laborers often lived in a single room house, but it was a lot more than seven to a home, okay? In the 16th century, it was typical for upwards of 20 child laborers to share a single room. Disney's version might have been different if it was called Snow White and the 20 malnourished children workers. But, I mean, for lack of a better phrasing, and Disney trying to make it as child-friendly as they possibly can, good on you, Disney, for that much anyway, it doesn't change the fact that they weren't as happy as they portrayed. Now, while she was in Brussels in the court of Mary the Hungry, Margaret met a real prince. That part is no lie. Mary's nephew was only 22 when they met, but he was also the son of Europe's most powerful ruler, the Holy Roman Empire's Charles V. His name was Philip. Irony. But he was later known as King of Spain, Philip II, for various reasons. Margaret met Philip during one of the prince's visits with his aunt. Philip pursued Margaret for months, and, you know, the two reportedly had a steamy love affair, if you will. Tragically, though, their love was doomed, as Margaret was Protestant and Philip was Catholic. If that wasn't enough to keep the two apart, after a brief romance, Margaret was murdered, as I mentioned before. Now, in real life, the evil stepmother wasn't actually the murderer, like in the story. The Brothers Grimm eventually wrote down the story of Snow White in the 19th-century book of fairy tales, but when they did that, the brothers rewrote the parts of Margaret's story to make it read more like a fairy tale. And in the Brother Grimm's version, the evil stepmother has a magic mirror that she uses every morning, asking it, "Mirror, mirror on the wall, who is the in this land is the fairest of them all," or something of that nature. And in the original, however, the evil stepmother is eventually driven mad with jealousy over Snow White's beauty. She disguises herself as a peddler and chokes Snow White to death with a lace bonnet or a poison apple in some versions that we're more familiar with. In real life, though, Margaret was killed, but her stepmother wasn't the killer. Margaret's stepmother actually died before Margaret actually did. On another unrelated note, the poison apple was actually, like I said before, which was added later. How do I put this? Margaret was actually really poisoned, but there was no apple involved, okay? If the Snow White's fairy tale was based on Margaret's life, you know, why did later versions change the murder weapon to an apple? Well, the change-up might have happened to make the story a little juicier, if you will. Although the showdown between the disguised stepmother and the innocent Snow White is pretty high tension to start with. However, there might have been a historical basis for the poison apple story. How do I put this? German historian Eckhard Sanders argues that the poison apple in the Snow White fairy tale came from a different historical event. An old man was once arrested in Germany for giving poisoned apples to children. And he was suspected the children were stealing. He suspected that the children were stealing his fruit, so he poisoned a few of the pieces to teach them a lesson. Although the idea of using poisoned fruit as a weapon might have found its way into the Snow White story based off of that story as inspiration. Though I don't condone people for, I mean, how do I put this? If you find someone stealing from your stuff, don't kill them. Especially if they're children. Not like that, anyway. However, moving forward, that's kind of the basis where the apple came from. But again, like I said, the original real-life Snow White Margaret was poisoned, but the apple wasn't the way that she had died. And the stepmother couldn't have actually done it, like I said before, because she already had died before her. So, let's take a short break here, and then I'm going to move forward into what happened next. seeing how we finally came to terms that the stepmother in the real-life version of Snow White didn't actually kill her, like in the story versions, it kind of begs the question, who murdered her then? Because obviously she had to die of poison somehow, some way, for the story to be based off of that, right? Well, let's have a look, shall we? In real life, Margaret didn't live a happily ever after. We understand this. She had a whirlwind romance with King Philip II of Spain. But, true enough to what I mentioned before, love's kiss couldn't bring her back, back to life. What's more, her murder had more to do with the royal politics than it did with beauty, which is ironic. Philip was heir to the throne of Spain, and his father was Holy Roman Emperor Charles V. That's a mouthful. The most powerful ruler in Europe, okay, at that period. Charles was in the middle of a bloody conflict with his Protestant subjects who were revolting against their emperor. In the middle of the Reformation, Charles couldn't allow his son to fall for a Protestant like Margaret because, he was trying to deal with all of that at the same time. And according to some historical accounts, Charles sent Spanish agents to basically poison Margaret. The plot worked, and she died only 21 years old. Dun dun dun! The king of the prince, who was supposedly her savior in the story, more or less, is the one who killed her. Not the stepmother. But that doesn't exactly work out well for happily ever afters or bedtime fairy tales. Father attempts to poison the son's, the prince's very mate, but then the prince comes and saves her. Yeah, that's going to work over really well. Anyway, the real Snow White White Dwarves. Regardless of the version, Snow White always appears with the seven dwarves, and, it's a central part of the fairy tale and is made explicit to the title of Disney for their version. In the Grimm's version, though, the dwarves live together in a house and dig ore from the mountain. They take in Snow White after her stepmother's first attempt to end her life, in this version. They protect her when her stepmother tries again to kill her. So, who are the dwarves in Margaret's life? It turns out that her father owned several copper mines, and just like the mines that, the dwarves visited every day in their cheery hi-ho song, which I'm not going into right now, unfortunately, the real copper mines were nothing to sing about, and the child laborers who worked there were in no position to save anybody. If not anything, they needed saving themselves. On the other hand, there's another theory that claims that the real wife Snow White was an 18th century princess also. While there is a great deal of evidence that Margaret von Waldeck inspired the Snow White story, some believe that the fairy tale is actually based on a different German princess, Maria Sophia von Erthel. She was born in 1729, I believe, in Bavaria, and was the daughter of Prince Philip Christoph von Erthel. Maria actually owned a talking mirror. I'm going to leave that alone. It was an acoustical toy that could speak, and it is now at the Spessart Museum in Germany. So it still exists. It's still there. And like Maria Sophia also had close ties to the mines. She grew up near the mining town of Bieber. Irony of name. Where only a very short... Where only very short miners could access the smallest tunnels. These workers were often wore bright hoods and just like, and dark outfits, just like the dwarves in the fairy tale. Needless to say, it isn't surprising that there are multiple real-life stories that match so closely with the Snow White fairy tale. During the 17th century, 20 to 25% of all children lost a birth parent. In a time when morality was high, especially for childbearing women, a number of daughters grew up with evil stepmothers, or Margaret's mother, like in this example, had 9 children before she died, and she was still in her 30s. So, holy hell, 9 children? I wrote this down, I didn't read it. Okay. Anyway, it's possible that Snow White's story was actually based on Maria instead of Margaret, but hey, who's to say? Rather than Margaret, or the fable, you know, could be a mix of multiple true stories altogether. I mean, you never really know, but the whole point of this is that the real-life version, or real people that it was based off of, didn't exactly have the same kind of happy ending that we know of. And the children, you know, that worked in the mines weren't actually happy-go-lucky dwarves that could save anybody in each version of this story anyway. And even if it was the short men who mined that in the Maria Sophia version of the story, based off of the real-life, you know, Maria Sophia, there's still not a chance in hell that the dwarves would be able to save her, let alone help her out in their conditions, since they work in those mines. And on a lot of places, these mines were considered poisonous in their own right, so these guys would have been weak, not exactly strong enough to do anything. Regardless, Margaret von Waldeck's tragic life is a reminder that falling in love with a prince doesn't always lead to a happy ending. And I just thought I'd go ahead and point that out. That wasn't the whole point of me giving this story or this spiel in the first place. The whole point of this was to let you know that the story isn't as gung-ho as everyone thinks it is. But then, most of these stories aren't. And with that, I bring this to a close. I thank you guys for listening. Again, this is Food for Thought, Thoughts If It Were You. I'm your host, Neo Gentrix. Look forward to the next Dark Truth Reveal episode. Until then, enjoy the rest of your day.